Welcome to episode 142 of Practical Defense. Defy the bad guy. Welcome to the Practical Defense Podcast, where you'll learn practical approaches to staying safe in our increasingly dangerous urban environments. I'm your host, Alex Haddix. If you notice a difference in my voice, it's because I'm recovering from a really nasty flu this week. But fortunately, the interview that we have for this week, I recorded before I got my cold. So we have a very short introduction, and then we have a great interview. On the show, we have Julie Green, author of the new book, Defy the Bad Guy, Powerful Practical Self-Defense Strategies for Every Woman. We discuss her book, The Attitude Required for True Self-Defense, and some key strategies designed for women, but that can be used by anyone. And with that, on to the interview.
When hurricanes strike, people lose belongings, their homes, hope. This hurricane season is predicted to be severe. American Red Cross volunteers stand ready. You can help. Your $50 click on redcross.org can feed and shelter a child for a day. Text Red Cross to 90999 to give $10. Call 1-800-RED-CROSS and your $25 gift can make sure someone won't go hungry for the day. Every single donation brings hope. Text message and data rates may apply.
Welcome back. And today we have an interview with Julie Green, author of the new book, Defy the Bad Guy, Powerful Practical Self-Defense Strategies for Every Woman. Thanks, Julie. Thanks for coming on.
Glad to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Not a problem. And we're actually in here in person. We're actually on UCLA campus.
A beautiful sunny day here and no humidity.
No, not right now. Absolutely. It's nice. So we're here to talk about your new book. I received an advanced copy and liked it quite a bit. I am just amazed at the number of testimonials you have on here. This is just unbelievable. All these people. And the one that blows me away the most is Lieutenant Colonel Dave Grossman gave you a testimonial.
Oh, everybody's been just so generous with their praise. And Dave Grossman is one of my heroes. I just could not send him a book. And of course, I've got some of his ideas in my book too.
Yeah, it's the book is absolutely fantastic, and I highly recommend that everyone go out and buy it. And I have to say that I liked it so much that I wrote the foreword to it.
It's an amazing foreword.
Well, I appreciate you letting me do it. We'll talk about the book in a minute, but let's first talk about you. What is your background?
My background is I've been training in the martial arts for about the past 7 years, and specifically in self-defense, maybe the last 3 or 4 years. I have done research on self-defense. I was interested to learn how a woman can get to the point of actually defending herself if she had to, and read a lot of books by big, tough guys or former policemen, not really women, and they did not have the perspective of a woman. And so I wanted to gather the information in such a way that a woman could use it, and after reading the book, she will be able to actually defend herself without a second thought. It's a lot about training your brain to defend yourself, to be ready.
Now, you actually have a pretty good martial arts background. You have a black belt in combat Hapkido under Grandmaster Pellegrini.
That's correct. Yes, I have 3 black belts in Taekwondo and just received my black belt in ICHF combat Hapkido. I've also got instructor status in the ground seminar defense and pressure point as well. For those of you who don't know, ICHF is a combat Hapkido started by Grandmaster Pellegrini, and it's a system of self-defense, very much like any other martial art, except for we've got the belts, and of course, I just received my black belt, but it is totally self-defense oriented. It's all grabs and escapes from grabs and takedowns. I really appreciate the combat Hapkido because it works a lot with joint manipulation, mm-hmm. and these are things that any woman can do. A lot of tough guys are practicing it, and there aren't too many women in the classes. but it relies on a lot of moves that just about anybody, no matter what your size, can do. And so to get to each belt, it's just learning the different kinds of grabs and joint locks.
Now, you touched on the beginning a little bit about the mental attitude that it takes to defend yourself. Can you go on a little more detail about that?
Well, a lot of the books that I've seen written by men or women mostly focus on preventive tips or actually hitting somebody. I was always interested in how does a woman get to the point where, I mean, a lot of us don't like the idea of poking somebody in the eye. It's gross. It's awful. And we're also taught not to really hurt anybody. We teach our kids not to hurt anybody. And so how do you get to the point when you need to escape, you can actually execute some of those moves? And so what I wanted to do in my book is break it down to not just the preventative techniques, but using awareness and using your intuition to kind of get your, to kind of train your brain to focus, to defend yourself. What some of the other things too that I don't see in a lot of self-defense books are deciding what to do in advance of a violent situation. One of the things that I mention in the book is after you listen to your intuition, after you've been aware of the situation, make a decision in advance to give up your stuff. If you are confronted and somebody wants your purse or somebody wants your car, you have to decide in advance to give it up. You have to decide in advance also that you're going to get hurt. A lot of women's self-defense trainers don't really talk about that. And I've seen self-defense books where they talk about the adrenal stress reaction, but mostly for men. I haven't seen very many women's self-defense books that talk about the adrenal stress reaction, the flight or flight, and what you can do to keep your brain from freezing. And so what I wanted to do in my book is address how you get from just minding your own business to escaping. And the way that you do that is to practice awareness techniques, because you can practice those things. Practice listening to your intuition, to set your boundaries. Again, a lot of the other self-defense books that I've seen really don't talk about boundaries. How do you know who's a good guy and who's not? How do you know who to let in your boundaries and, you know, who to keep out? And those are some of the preliminary things, as well as deciding to give up your stuff, deciding that, yes, you may get hurt. Those are some of the preparatory things that you can do to make sure that if you get into that flight or flight situation, that you are defending yourself instead of freezing.
That's one of the things that I really loved about this book. And one of the reasons I even say this in the foreword is this is the book that I would have written if I'd written a women's self-defense book. It hits every single subject exactly the same way that I agree with. And I really think it's fantastic.
Well, and I wanted to make it for the woman who maybe wouldn't go to a self-defense class or certainly not a martial arts class. I wanted to write it so that any woman could pick it up, read it, and get some self-defense information from it.
So how do we overcome these social engineering issues that we have where we teach our women and our girls to comply, to just be nice?
I teach my son, I teach my kids to listen to adults, to always be nice, to always be polite. And if somebody wants something, then you say yes. And so the very first thing that you need to do to overcome these barriers is to listen to your intuition. Intuition is so important. And when you hear that little voice inside saying, no, this is not good, get away, stay away, then you need to listen to it and to act on it right away.
So because that little voice is something deep down that says there's something wrong here, that something's not right.
There's something wrong here, and it's intuition is knowing without knowing. Your body, your subconscious is picking up information that your conscious mind can't pick up. And so it's giving you signals that you need to really listen to, because it's working on body language and voice inflection, everything that your conscious mind can't pick up. And it is valuable information and can save your life if you listen to it and act on it.
So if this little voice is going off in your head, what should they do?
Absolutely pay attention. And the thing is your intuition will not give up. Your intuition will try once and you can ignore it. And it will try again and you can ignore it. And it will keep going. What you need to do is act on it immediately. If you have the feeling that you need to get out of there, you need to get out of there. First, you have to understand that it is your right to defend yourself. No one has the right to hurt you. No one, absolutely no one, no matter if it is somebody you know, a family member, no one has the right to hurt you. And you have the right to stop them. You don't have the right to hurt them, but you have the right to stop them. So a lot of my message that I want to put out there is that the way that you can stop them is to, we are trained. We are trained to be nice and to comply and to say yes to things, but because we don't want to hurt people's feelings. Absolutely. As a woman, I never want to hurt anybody's feelings. But when there is somebody that is trying to hurt you, you need to go into the bitch zone. You need to not worry about hurting somebody's feelings because they are going to hurt you and they have no right to do that. And you need to stop them. And if it means saying no, and if it means being a bitch, then that's just what you have to do to keep yourself safe.
Now let's talk about no here. I've read this in a couple of different places, and I tend to agree with it. Women say no as a stopping point, but men interpret it as a negotiation.
Lots of men will hear, try harder, or keep going. I think one of the most important things to teach our sons, moms out there, is that no means no. It doesn't mean anything else. And so that's a good starting point. For women, if you're in a situation where the guy isn't hearing your no, you may just have to make it louder. It is up to you to communicate that no means no, and that may mean yelling louder. It may mean taking their hands physically off you and telling them that you don't want this, telling them to stop, and being proactive in, you know, defending yourself and keeping yourself safe.
Also, I think a lot of it has to do with the tone and the inflection of it. You know, going, no, is different than no. There's a big difference between how those messages are being interpreted.
Well, and the other thing that women will do is, can we not do this? Or they ask a question. They make it a question. It should never be a question. When you need somebody to do something, it's always a command. You want no is no. You need to stop this right now. And instead of, can we stop this now? It needs to be command. It needs to be strong.
Because one's asking permission and the other is telling.
Absolutely.
And it goes back to that point of, it's okay to be a bitch.
It's okay to be a bitch. It's okay to hurt somebody's feelings if they're going to hurt you. The guy, here's an example. Say you're in the parking lot and you're loading your groceries and there's a guy that comes up and wants to help you. And you don't have a great feel. You don't know this guy. And in general, there's not some kind of association of guys in the parking lot helping women load their groceries. And so you don't really want the help and you don't need the help. And so it's okay to say no to that kind of guy instead of, sorry, just no is fine. And if he's offended, if he's a good guy, he's not going to be offended. He's going to respect your space because that's what a good guy does. Bad guy doesn't care about your space and what you want. A good guy will respect it. He'll back off and he'll let you load your groceries. You're not going to offend the good guys. And if you offend the bad guys, you've just offended somebody who may want to hurt you. Don't worry about it.
So who cares?
Who cares? Exactly. Don't worry about it.
All right. And, you know, I know you have a favorite subject of yours about cell phones. So let's talk about that for a minute.
Cell phones are amazing. Your cell phone is the most important safety tool that you could have. And the beauty is that it's something that everybody has. And there's so many ways that you can use your cell phone to protect yourself. For instance, you're in your car. And I'm from old school. Even before there were cell phones, if your car broke down, then you were out of luck. You had to either get out of your car or put a sign up in your car or trust some stranger to help you if you were, you know, in a place where there weren't that many people. Nowadays, it's a beautiful thing. You've got your cell phone. You can call 911 from where you're at. You can call 911 if an unmarked car follows you or tries, or there's somebody, you know, trying to help you and they say that they're policemen. You can call and double check. So the cell phone in your car is an amazing tool. One of the other things I like with cell phone is most of the cell phones that we have now can take pictures. If you have a blind date, you don't know them, you can send your friend a picture of your blind date. If they say, hey, you know, what are you taking my picture for? Just tell them, you know, oh, my friends want to see you, and not even send it to your friends. But there's also a company called MyMobileWitness.com, www.mymobilewitness.com, where you can send pictures to them, and it's in a secure location. Only the police can access it. And you can use that, and in case you get into trouble, then they, you know, have a lead. So you can use that to take pictures of workers that come into your home, taxi drivers if you're traveling. So cell phone taking pictures is very useful. Always keep your cell phone by your bed at night. If you have an intruder when you're sleeping, if you have your cell phone charging or just resting by your bed, you can pick it up immediately, even if there's a problem with the phone line.
Well, I mean, that's a very good point, because I've seen many, many reports that people will cut the phone lines before coming into the house.
And if you have your cell phone right there, you can, it'll be charged and you can use it as quietly as you want.
And they cut the power as well sometimes? And I mean, who has an actual old wired phone these days? They're usually all powered.
Exactly.
Through all those wireless phones.
And if the power's out, your cell phone also makes a light. Not a great light, but...
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's something to see by. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that they do is when they come into the house, the first phone they come to, they take it off the hook.
Yeah.
So they can't make any... So it blocks any outgoing calls because the phone's already off the hook. So cell phone by the bed is absolutely necessary.
I agree completely. That tip. And of course, you can program your important numbers in there so that if you get into trouble... Also, you can use your cell phone for taking pictures of... If you're traveling, I travel a lot. And I use my cell phone to take pictures of each of my travel documents, my passport, any confirmations. And so if, you know, heaven forbid that I should lose any of those things, I've got them on my cell phone. That's another safety tip. But the most important thing with your cell phone is not all of us are used to calling 911. Alex, have you ever called 911? How many times have you called 911 in your
life?
Twice. A lot of us have never, ever called. I have never called 911. Thank goodness, knock on wood. I hope I never have to. But I think it's important to train your brain to know what to do, because it isn't just calling 911. You need to hit send or talk or some other button. And I've heard stories where people have gotten into trouble and all they're doing is turning on their phone and dialing 911.
Oh, and not hitting send.
And not hitting send. And it's not getting out. And it's a total brain freeze. They're not trained to do that. And so, again, by training your brain, by practicing, turn your cell phone off. Everybody do this. Even your kids do this. Turn your cell phone off. Dial 911 send or talk 911 or whatever. And Make that a practice. Practice for just a couple minutes every month. And you can do that on your home phone too, but cell phones
take the batteries out.
And turn it off. Yes, turn it off. Take the batteries out. Make sure that you're not actually calling 911. It's just a drill. But it could be a drill that when you actually have to call 911, you're on it without even having to think about it.
That's a very good point.
And Last but not least, I love the cell phone because you can use it for hitting harder. If you have somebody coming toward you, you can hit somebody pretty hard with your fist. But if you have your cell phone handy, most of us have cell phone in the outside pocket of our purse or in maybe pants pocket. And lots of us are even hanging on to the cell phone. If you're holding on to your cell phone and you need to strike somebody, it can be more effective than just a plain fist.
You know, that is an absolutely great tip, and it never occurred to me, and I've never heard anybody ever say anything about using a cell phone as a force multiplier.
Absolutely, and everybody has one with them all the time.
Okay, now that the air conditioning unit has stopped, I think that'll do it for the interview. So I really appreciate you taking the time to talk about your book and share some of your insight.
I really appreciate the opportunity to be here.
Oh, cool. Well, I appreciate you taking the time, and I'm glad we could actually do this interview in person, since you happen to be out in my neighborhood visiting. And again, the book is Defy the Bad Guy, Powerful Practical Self-Defense Strategies for Every Woman. And I liked it enough that I wrote the foreword to it. So I highly recommend everyone check it out. Thanks again, Julie.
Thank you so much, Alex.
Gun Rights Radio Network has the best pro-Second Amendment, pro-gun rights podcast available on the net. The podcasts are absolutely free when subscribing using iTunes or Zoom Marketplace. Or if you want, you can just listen from the website. Make sure you visit gunrightsradio.com to subscribe. Podcasting freedom, one episode at a time.
Welcome back. You can find Julie's book on Amazon.com, and you can search for it under her name, or even my name for that matter. The book again is called Defy the Bad Guy, Powerful Practical Self-Defense Strategies for Every Woman. You can find out more about Julie, or even book her for a speaking engagement, at her website at defythebadguy.com. Of course, you can find links to the book in the library section of my website, and a link to Julie's website in the show notes. Now in January, I am still hosting a Masad Ayoub seminar. You can find all the details, the location, and cost on my newly redesigned website at alexaddicts.com/mag20, M-A-G-2-0. And as always, don't forget that we have a 20% discount on subscriptions to Taekwondo Times magazine. Just enter our exclusive promo code of PRACDEF01 at checkout. The subscription to the print edition of the magazine includes digital copies as well. You can find a promo code and a link in the show notes. If you have any tips you would like to share with everyone, a comment on a show, or if you would like to suggest a topic for an upcoming episode, write into podcast@alexaddicts.com. I'd love to hear from you. Until next time, stay aware, stay safe. Practical Defense is a member of the Gun Rights Radio Network at gunrightsradio.com. And that does it for this episode. Thank you for downloading and listening to the Practical Defense Podcast. For questions, commentary, and topic suggestions, send an email to podcast@alexaddicts.com. That's podcast@alexaddicts.com. And if you ever want to train with me, look me up on the web at alexaddicts.com.